Hi, my name is Sam Bevins, and I'm a high school junior at Milton Academy. And today, I'm going to explore high schooler satisfaction, or lack thereof, with their state and federal response to COVID-19. I am mainly focusing on the state responses, and I'm interviewing my friends in high school from different states around the country, asking them the same questions and seeing how their responses differ. High schoolers have a lot to deal with during the COVID-19 pandemic. And with the future so uncertain, it is important for people to hear and understand high schoolers' view on the pandemic. I interviewed 8 different high school juniors and seniors. Also, I conducted my interviews from May 24th to May 27th, so some of the things that are open now were not open when I was interviewing. Hi, Josie. Thanks for agreeing to meet with me today.
Of course. No problem.
Can you tell the listeners where you're from, what school you go to, what age you are?
Sure. So my name is Josie, as Sam just said, and I'm from Brookline, Massachusetts. I'm 17 years old, and I go to Milton Academy.
Thank you, Josie.
Okay, I'm Bella, but my whole name's Isabella Laura. I'm 16, and I live in New Jersey.
Thank you.
My name is Bella Jacques. I'm from a suburb outside Chicago called LaGrange, Illinois. And I'm a senior in high school. I'm going to University of New Hampshire next year.
Yay.
My name is Terry Paradia. I'm from Iowa City, Iowa, and I'm currently 17.
Awesome. Thank you, Perry.
No problem.
Hi, my name is Zizi Meeks. I live in East Hampton, New York, and I'm in 11th grade.
I'm Madison Hackett. I'm from Hoover, Alabama, and I'm 18.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jehan Bohr. I'm a junior. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I live in a small suburb called Smyrna in Georgia. And I'm 17 years old.
Thank you.
I'm Jenna Smith from Houston, and I'm in 12th grade.
The first question that I asked all my interviewees was, do you think your governor is doing a good job handling the coronavirus?
I do think Governor Baker's doing a really good job handling it, or as well as he could be doing it. I think it's always tough to handle a large crowd that wants to be able to go outside and do stuff. His recent phase plan with all the different phases and very specific amounts of time for each is a good way to keep citizens updated and informed.
The second question that I asked all my interviewees was, are there things in your state that are closed that you think should be open?
Right now, I don't think so. I think, I just want to be able to follow the rules as much as possible and make sure that everything is staying shut down that needs to stay shut down so that we don't have to quarantine again.
The third question that I asked all my interviewees was, are there things in your state that are open and you think they should be closed?
I don't think so, because, for example, a lot of the parks are open, but they're outside and you're able to social distance in the parks.
The governor of Massachusetts, Governor Baker, has taken his response to reopening the state extremely carefully. Governor Baker has laid out a 4-phase plan, and each phase is 3 weeks long at a minimum. He has also implemented a statewide tracing program to try to prevent a second wave in the state. Like Josie said, he has taken a careful and responsible approach to reopening the state. I asked the same three questions to Bella Jock, who lives in Illinois, and she said,
I mean, at first I thought like he was just taking like precautionary measures for this because it was kind of a big, or it is a big deal, but as like, I don't know if it's like selfish because I'm a senior, but like as like the time went on and like the cases like lowered, it seemed like he was like trying to progress like the steps taken, like if it, as if it like all the cases were like increasing and like he and it and they're not like they're we're getting like lower and lower cases. And so like a couple of the surrounding counties of Chicago like are not getting a lot of cases, but the city itself, like that's the main like center of like spreading and everything. And so like we're kind of like paying for their like spreading.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Because like we're a suburb outside of the city, like we're not getting a lot of cases. We're not really near any of that.
Right.
So like we should have a little more access and a little more freedom, but because like he's in charge, like he's like all of Illinois is whatever shut down. And it's just super frustrating because, well, the only things that are open are like curbside pickup for like restaurants, and then like if you need like Home Depot, Menards are like open, like you need to get like tools and stuff, I guess. But I think restaurants, maybe if you had like outdoor seating or a little more like,
yeah,
it should be open because a lot of local and like family owned restaurants are like are being hit so hard from this.
Right.
And I think like if they're doing a proper job of like seating and like waiters are wearing masks and stuff, like we should be able to like go and eat in places. Like if we're allowed to go into like stores and like Target and stuff, like we should be able to like socially like, respect like our distances at a restaurant. Like,
are there things in your state that are open and you think they should be closed?
No. Like everything's closed.
Yeah.
The governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, like Governor Baker, has taken a slow and careful approach to reopening the state. Bella is right. The cases have been decreasing since May 24th, and today is June 2nd. That being said, Illinois has the third highest number of cases in the country, behind New York and New Jersey. And therefore, a slow and careful reopening, though frustrating, is the safest way to prevent a second wave in the state. When asked the same questions, Perry Heredia from Iowa said,
I do not think so. Kim Reynolds, I think, has done, at the beginning, she didn't take it seriously enough, and now she's trying to compensate for that, but I still don't think it's enough. I actually think that a lot of the places are kind of doing a, like, all of the things that should be open are open, and all the things that are closed should be closed.
When I interviewed Perry, most of the stuff that was open now wasn't open then. The Republican governor of Iowa, Kim Reynolds, has taken a very different approach from the aforementioned states. Kim Reynolds has already allowed bars, movie theaters, zoos, swimming pools, aquariums, museums, wedding receptions, and school activities like high school baseball to reopen, if people maintain social distancing in the venues. While Iowa is not hit as hard as Massachusetts and Illinois, it is still opening things up at an alarmingly fast rate. When asked the same questions, Bella Laura from New Jersey said,
they're encouraged to stay inside despite, like, you know, the essentials, groceries, and just things like that. And, like, we took a relatively quick approach on schools closing. We haven't opened many things up, like, I've noticed a lot of places are opening things up as of now, and I don't know if it's too early or not, but I think that the way that our governor is handling things is at a nice pace and is definitely beneficial. Like, you can't enter a bunch of stores without masks on, so the precautions are probably going to benefit a lot of us.
Great, thank you.
I think that the things that are open should be open. Like, I think that places like the barber shop and the hair salons, the nail salons, like, those are not essentials, and you're definitely gonna be okay without it. So I think that the things that are closed should be closed. Like, it makes well sense why they're closed. Okay, I think the liquor store shouldn't be open. Like, there's no I don't see that as a true necessity at all.
Democratic Governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, like Illinois and Massachusetts, has had a slow and carefully thought-out approach to reopening the state in phases. Despite New Jersey having a steady decline in cases since April 26th, New Jersey still has the second highest number of cases in the country, behind New York. Like Bella said, only the essentials are open. And starting on June 15th, outdoor dining will be allowed in the state, and indoor non-essential retail shopping will be allowed, as long as businesses implement the necessary precautions. I asked the same questions to Zizi Meeks, who lives in East Hampton, New York, and she said,
I think that Andrew Cuomo is handling the situation actually pretty well, because he's just super on top of everything, and you can tell he has, like, a genuine concern, and I feel like a lot of the things he's preaching has a lot to do with, like, love and kindness, and of course, you know, social distancing and, like, physical, like, health things, but he's also sharing that it's important to, like, maintain, like, a loving and, like, kind environment, which I really like. Well, as far as, like, where I live, pretty much the only things that are open are restaurants, and it's only takeout, and the beach, but no one's, like, you know, you still have to wear a face mask and social distance on the beach. So I think where I live, we're doing a pretty good job of keeping mostly non-essential businesses closed. So if anything, I think the duck pond and, like, the nature preserve should be closed, because pretty much, like, every day I'm seeing, I guess it's good that people are getting out and, like, walking around and stuff, but it just doesn't seem like that regulated.
The Democratic Governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, who has become a national figure and leader during the COVID-19 pandemic, has led a slow county-by-county phase reopening. New York, and especially New York City, was the hardest-hit portion of the country. New York has had a total of 377,881 cases, and New York still has the highest number of cases of any state. Impressively, Governor Cuomo has led the state to have a decrease in cases per day since April 10th. Like Zizi said, Cuomo has become an internationally respected leader for the way he has empathetically led the state. When asked the same questions, Madison Hackett, who lives in Alabama, said,
so the governor right now in Alabama is Kay Ivey, and she was really late to do anything in the first place. Like, a lot of the northeastern states were going into lockdowns and stuff, and she, like, didn't close anything. Like, she said everything was fine. And then, like, once a lot of the other states went into lockdown and all the other stuff, then she finally did it. But, mm-hmm. like, I feel like we were only, like, locked down for, like, I feel like it was only 2 weeks. That's because crazy. Now she's already, like, opening things back up, and, like, our numbers are only increasing. Like, I feel like she's only looking at, like, the curves and stuff in states that have actually done what they're supposed to do. Like, she's not actually looking at the curves here, because now we're starting to see, like, hospitals being full and, like, more people dying and all that stuff. but yet more things are opening, so it doesn't really make any sense. Yeah. I feel like she's doing everything really backwards. So, yeah, I definitely don't think she's, like, concerned with what's actually happening. She's more concerned with opening things back up and, like, getting the economy going. I don't think there's anything that's closed that I think should be open, because everything right now is in the process of, like, opening back up. But I don't think that it's safe for things to even be opened back up in the first place. I think we should still, like, be self-quarantining and stuff, because it's only getting worse. And if we open things back up to the way that they were before, as, like, our peak hasn't even hit yet, then it's just going to be, like, even worse than what it was going to be. Mm-hmm. First, so Kay Ivey, she had, like, a press meeting, I think, 2 days ago. And she basically said that she, like, we were in, like, the final stage, or the second stage, I think, of opening things back up. And she decided to open up, like, the daycares, summer camps.
Oh, my God.
And, like, one other thing that happens in the summer. I think, like, amusement parks or something.
Oh, my goodness.
And I just don't understand that, because now it's falling on, like, the daycares themselves and the summer camps to close down, like, my sister's. And so, like, I just kind of feel bad for the businesses themselves, because they're losing customers just based off of, like, them wanting to keep people safe. And they can't, like, put the blame on the government, or, like, even say that the government said that it was a safety issue, because they're not saying that. So they just seem like they're doing, like they just seem like they're being extra when they're really not, which is really, like, sad to see.
Yeah,
what else is open? They opened up restaurants, I think, last week, and they opened up the beaches. Yeah, and I think the beaches are open, and, like, since all those graduations happen, a lot of people here are going to the beach. They're, like, going out to eat with their friends to celebrate their graduation and stuff, and their parents don't really care, because they want their kids to, like, experience graduation and, like, feel proud and celebrated and stuff, but it's, like, coming at the price of all these other things that I don't think people are really, like, grasping and understanding until, like, it's someone in their family that has it, or if it's, like, personally affecting their lives. But for a lot of people, it hasn't gotten to that point yet, so it's a lot of, like, carelessness and just, like, opening everything back up.
Yeah.
When they know that that's not how it should be happening.
Do you see a lot of people with masks when you walk around outside, or not really?
Yeah, so I was working at Target, like, a lot, like, 2 weeks ago, and, like, last week I started to not as much, but when I was there, I would say, like, 30% of the people were wearing masks, and before they made a mandatory for, like, the employees, like, even some of the employees weren't really wearing masks, but then they said it was mandatory. But yeah, a lot of people aren't. I feel like when it first, like, when Corona first came, more people were wearing masks, but now that we've been in, like, quarantine for however many weeks and things are opening back up, people are just, like, getting more lenient and not caring as much.
Yeah.
And, like, not taking it as seriously. So there's just not that many people really doing anything.
The Republican governor of Alabama, Kay Ivey, took a similar approach to the aforementioned Republican-led state of Iowa. Governor Kay Ivey most certainly began opening too much too soon, because there has never been a period of time where the number of cases per day in Alabama has had a decreasing trend. The number of new cases a day has continued to increase, and Kay Ivey began quickly reopening the economy, despite the CDC's guidelines to not begin to reopen until the number of new cases and new deaths a day have both decreased for 2 weeks. Like Madison said, Governor Ivey has acted backwards, and she has not acted in the best interest of her constituents. Jehan Bohr, who lives in Georgia, responded to these questions by saying,
"My household, my grandpa's here, and he's a diabetic, so he's extremely susceptible to the virus. So we have to take really good care of him, and we have to, like, be very cautious because of him. So I don't watch a lot of news, but he does. And he actually liked the idea of opening quarantine up and sort of trying to get back to normal life. And although I was confused at first, so far it's actually worked pretty well. Like, the stats say that things have actually gone better. Like, the cases have gone down. People are still social distancing, although they're going out and trying to continue their normal lives. So although I think it was, at first, I was very worried and very cautious, I think he's actually doing a pretty good job. If school was still open, I wish that schools would be open, because he's already opened a lot of other stuff, and I feel like education is the most important. But he talked about how one of his priorities is getting school back as soon as possible, whether that be like August or a little bit later than that. But other than that, I think everything that's closed should stay closed. So when I first heard about the things that were getting first opened, you know, like bowling alleys, stuff like that, restaurants, I thought it was pretty silly, because, you know, like, a bowling alley isn't that essential. Like, people can always take out, like, restaurants. Having dining in restaurants isn't that essential. But, so I think at first I thought that they should be closed, even though they're starting to become open. But obviously, you know, the stats have shown that things have gotten better. So obviously people are taking social distancing seriously. They're not really being stupid about it. And it's definitely helping the economy. It's definitely helping things. You know, people are getting money. People are starting to go back to work. It's definitely benefiting a lot, although there are some risks. There's one thing: public parks have opened up, and I think that's really, really stupid. That's the only thing that I'm really against, because, you know, on Memorial Day, people were crowding in the park. They were just enjoying themselves. They were grilling, they were barbecuing in huge groups, and that's pretty dangerous. That's how the virus, you know, like, one little stupid event like that could just backlash all of the work that we've done so far. So I think the opening public parks was pretty stupid.
Republican Governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, like the aforementioned Republicans, acted late and opened quickly. Except Governor Kemp was the first governor to begin reopening. As a result, the number of cases per day has remained about the same for the past 2 months, without any major increase or decrease trends. Like Jehan said, opening up quickly did not have as many negative impacts as originally anticipated. I asked the same questions to Jenna Smith, who lives in Texas, and she said,
"Not really. I mean, masks are optional. Like, places don't require them. You know, like, I noticed, like, because everything opened so fast, people stopped caring. And so now it's just, like, everything's kind of back to normal."
That's crazy.
Yeah. I feel like nothing that I know of is still closed. Which is horrible, but, like, okay, I know churches haven't opened. I think they should stay like that. Malls, like, I think that's ridiculous. I went to the store the other day. It's, like, right on the outside of the mall, so I just go through that one entrance. But, like, it was just packed, and, like, some stores didn't care. Some did. Some had, like, masks, like, it was required. But, like, some didn't. And I'm just like, this is ridiculous. People are touching surfaces, like, left and right. And, like, a mall's huge. You can't clean everything.
Yeah.
I'm just like, there's a food court open. I'm like, that's ridiculous. So, I'd probably say malls.
Are restaurants at full capacity? Do you know?
Okay, restaurants, I know, like, they don't sit everyone, like, at each table. Like, every other table's, like, used. But that's only at some.
But do you know people that are, like, feel comfortable going out to restaurants still?
Oh, yeah. So many people.
But you haven't.
No, I don't go, I haven't gone and sat down anywhere.
Yeah.
No, I don't feel comfortable with that yet.
Yeah.
The Republican governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, like his fellow Republican states, prematurely opened. As a result, Texas has not had any long-lasting decreasing case number trends, and instead the case number is currently increasing quickly as life returns to almost normal in Texas. Like Jenna was talking about, it is crazy that people are allowed to be shopping in crowded malls like usual.
Thank you.
Then I asked my 8 interviewees, what are the 3 words you would use to describe the federal response? And they said,
frustrating, ill-prepared, and controversial.
I mean, careless.
Yeah.
Precautionary, strict, and aggressive.
Late, inadequate, and completely bad.
Untimely, if that's even a word. harsh, and kind of confusing.
Careless. Disinterested.
I was going to say not helpful, but that's 2 words, but I'm just throwing it in there. Anyway.
Ignorant, unsafe, and something like, I want to say inequality, but really by that I just mean like how all of the different inequalities are really being brought out.
Populist, stupid, but also bold.
Selfish.
Then I asked them to explain why they used the words they used, and this is what they said.
The United States as a whole, the federal government was ill-prepared for the amount of tests that were needed, and I think it's frustrating that a lot of us that are social distancing and staying at home are seeing people that aren't, and then the federal government sometimes is enforcing really strict laws, but sometimes they're not, and that's really confusing. You can't just blame the federal government in general, like, because this is such a controversial topic, and you don't know, you know, who's pulling their weight in the government. And
I think that they just, compared to so many other countries and the responses we've seen internationally, the response of the United States has just been so inadequate and has left so many more dead and struggling to like pay rent and stuff than ever should have been a possibility.
I agree.
I just feel like it's confusing because so much is being said. It just isn't clear information, and especially when Donald Trump is saying things like he's positively negative, like, it's just like, I don't know, I feel like responses aren't really being like that thought out, and it's a lot about like competition for our president right now, like who has the most testing, like who's like the best, when it should be about, you know, saving people's lives. And yeah, another word I would use is like unnecessary competition.
Yeah.
I know that's not one word, but
like, I agree.
Yeah. Well, one, most of the essential workers are Black and Brown people. And then for them to only have done like one round of stimulus checks. Oh, unemployment. Filing for unemployment has been crazy. Like, there were definitely lines of like people who were trying to, you know, get that money back, and then for rent, like there's no standard procedure for this, which makes it even more complicated. And then all these things in New York where like it just seems very racially targeted, the groups who they're trying to reinforce social distancing on. So I think that on the federal level, like if there's going to be a procedure, it should be in place for everyone. It should be including everyone. It should be trying to make sure that everyone has the right precautions and the, like, necessary items that they need, the necessary benefits. So I think that, I don't think that they're doing the best that they could be. And
Well, the president really is just, like, we all knew, but it's gotten to the point where it's just outright ignorant. Like, he knows what he's doing. And, like, I just feel like he's just trying to, like, say all this stuff that he knows is wrong to, like, take our attention away from things that we shouldn't, that things that should have more attention. I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel like I feel like I've never had an issue with trusting a president, whether it was like a Democrat or a Republican. Like, I feel like no matter what, like I knew that they somewhat had our interest in hand, at least like in my lifetime. Yeah. But now it's like we really can't depend on the federal government to really do what they need to do. It's more on like yourself, if anything, and you can try to get your state governments to like do what you need them to do, but even that isn't even the case. So it's really like opened my eyes to see how like blatant the cure for an issue could be, but they still would do all these things to go around it and like just screw people over, essentially. And like also bringing attention to like how healthcare is an issue for people and how it's like always going to be an issue if we don't fix the things that we need, and like how minorities are being how they're getting sick at faster rates than white people, which is because just of like all of the systemic things that have built up over the years and all that stuff. Right. So it's really like, I guess, hard to see all happen at once, but it's harder to know that the things that need to be done to fix it won't happen anytime soon. Yeah, and it's just really embarrassing too, because like when I'm talking to like Emma, who's in Hong Kong, yeah, or like
exactly, just our other friends. People
that don't live in this country, and like to hear them talk about the U.S. in such a negative way, and to know that they have every right to say what they're saying, yeah, it's just really embarrassing, because you know how bad it looks and you know that it could have been prevented. Like, none of it ever had to be this bad if your president just had listened. Exactly. Or maybe didn't try to fire everyone who tried to help him. I don't know. Exactly. It's exactly. Really just embarrassing at this point.
Yeah.
I should have said embarrassing. That's one of the words, too.
It definitely is.
I read this thing that, like, this lady posted. She said, I'm not wearing a mask for myself. Like, I'm wearing it for you. And it's, like, because you don't know what other people are going through.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, maybe you don't need the mask, but other people need you to wear it. So I'd say, like, selfish. Like, I don't think they're keeping people other, like, people who have problems in mind.
The words that my peers used speak volumes. Nothing positive was said. I share the profound sense of embarrassment about the lack of leadership from President Trump. In addition, the partisan lock in Congress about a second round of stimulus bills is dumbfounding, because it should be at the top of all legislators' agendas to help their constituents put food on the table. We need to come out in 2020 and vote in numbers never seen before, because the country will not be unified or rebuilt under Trump's leadership. The final question that I asked everyone was, what is your biggest concern at the moment?
I think my biggest concern is that there's going to be another wave in the winter. You know, as things start to open up again, I am really excited to be able to go back to school in the fall and have everything go back to, you know, what we're calling the new normal. But for me personally, my uncle and my grandma were diagnosed with COVID and pneumonia together. And so, like, I feel like having it so close to home kind of gives the bigger picture of, like, what we're dealing with, you know, as a world. And I think just taking care of elders in nursing homes, and, like, for nurses there to, like, take precaution when leaving, because everyone in a nursing home is, like, you know, they're together, but, like, the people who can spread it are the ones going home and going forward. So, like, I'd say people in hospitals and, like, nursing homes, like, I don't know, just, like, I just worry about, like, them and, like, how they're dealing with it.
My biggest concern, specifically in Iowa, is people not taking it seriously. There was a period for the past 2 weeks where people have just not been wearing masks, going into grocery stores, not listening to social distancing protocols, hanging out with their friends, going outside to do non-essential activities. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're just becoming really complacent, and we're just allowing all of these regulations to, like, slowly slide away, even though it's as important as ever to continue to social distance.
My biggest concern right now is the fact that if I personally feel like we're not that prepared in case like this kind of fades away and the second wave were to come, I just feel like, although like I feel like the federal government is claiming that they've like learned a lot from this experience, I personally don't like have that much trust within them. That
my biggest concern at the moment is that we're gonna open it up too quickly. We're gonna open like the states and different things up too quickly, and then there's gonna be another wave and we're not gonna know how to deal with that. I don't know how school is gonna look, and that's another concern. Like, I just don't know what we're doing to prevent a second wave while we don't have a cure right now.
I think my biggest concern or worry is just like kind of the what's gonna happen next stages. Like, what is school gonna look like? Is it gonna be online school again in the fall? Or is it gonna be less people at school? Are we gonna be 6 feet apart? Like, are we gonna have to wear masks at school? Like, will like social life ever really be the same? Just things like that. I want to know whether or not the economy is gonna get back to where it was, which I know it's not gonna happen soon, but like how the next person in charge is going to make those things happen faster. And like with all the issues that came out during this, like how are we gonna work together to see some of those things actually happen to make life better for people? Because it really is just gonna get worse after this. After something big happens in America, at least, I feel like there's always like a little bit of a divide. Like when Obama was elected, there's people who loved him, there's people who didn't like him, and I feel like that kind of, like, we saw that more and more, which eventually led to like Trump being elected. And now like there's another divide, like people who like want everyone to stay safe, and then people who like want to get back to work regardless. And just seeing like how different divides will like either get better or worse.
So because Georgia ended quarantine, you know, people in other states are going to see that and they're going to be like, oh, you know, Georgia ended quarantine, we can go outside, we can start being safe as long as we're social distancing. And they'll go out. You can see, like, now it's been, like, what, we've been in quarantine for 2.5 months. People are starting to get sick of it. People are going outside. They're making some stupid decisions. And, you know, people are starting, Corona's going to start getting to more people, which kind of just, it kind of destroys all the work we've done already in quarantine. Because yeah. I read a stat that said if we quarantined for 9 weeks straight, we would have gotten rid of the virus, you know. People can't really quarantine. Some people don't take it seriously. So I'm worried that all of our work is going to go to waste. And what are we going to do from there? Like, we can't just ask to quarantine again. Yeah. Because we know that some people won't listen to us. One, because they can't. But people need to like be outside to, you know, get money. But also because people just don't listen because they have a lot of, you know, because they're kind of selfish and stupid. Yeah. So I'm just worried about what the next step is, you know. Like, if the government says that, okay, we're going to quarantine again, it's kind of a lose situation because we know that doesn't work. People are going to go outside and we're going to lose all our time. And that's, yeah, like, that's a silly thing to do. But also, if they announce that, you know, we're going to try to put things back to normal, there could be huge side effects. It could be very negative side effects, a lot of death. So it's kind of a lose-lose situation right now. I'm just kind of worrying.
My mom has been, like, in the last few months, was diagnosed with cancer. And so she, like, has to... So, like, that's one of the things where I think, like, it's selfish and careless to not wear a mask because she has to get surgery and she can't be sick for it. So, like, when I go out, I have to be, like, extremely careful. But, like, if other people aren't being careful, then it's, like, it just makes it harder for, like, all of us. And so it's just, like, that's kind of difficult, like, getting people to realize, like, other people, it's not all about you. And that, like, you might have, like, a little discomfort of wearing a mask for a little while, but at the end of the day, like, if it helps someone, I don't get why you wouldn't do it. Exactly. And so I find that, like, hard to... I don't get why people don't realize that.
It's a scary time for everyone, but I think for high schoolers, it is especially hard because we are not the vulnerable age group, but our choices will affect our parents' and our grandparents' safety. That is a lot of pressure, especially when we go on social media and we see photos of other high schoolers at the beach with their friends. I also think not knowing when it will truly be okay to be with friends again is scary because there is no timeline. And so if other kids are hanging out, you start thinking, why shouldn't I? We are living in a historic time, and I think it is really important to hear the thoughts, opinions, and worries of other high schoolers that have had to live through these times. To my 8 interviewees, Josie Vogel, Bella Jock, Perry Heredia, Zizi Meeks, Bella Laura, Madison Hackett, Jehan Bohr, and Jenna Smith, thank you for taking the time to be interviewed. Your thoughts and experiences have given me new perspective, and I am sure they will give new perspectives to all who listen. The experiences of people during this pandemic greatly differ based on what state they live in. So this has been an eye-opening exploration for me. Thank you. And until next time, this is Samantha Bevan signing off.